And good day to you. Welcome to another edition of The Front Page on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Chuck Moraz. Today we're joined by Dr. Walter Blevins, Judge Executive of Rowland County. And Dr. Blevins, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Well, as always, we kind of talk about progress on the county jail project as we start the show. We'll do that again today. And how are things going there?
Well, going pretty good. We've had a little setback yesterday with a change order. Of course, that happens when you're building a large project, especially early on it happens. It was going to be about $60,000 more than what we expected, but our construction manager, Trace Creek, Eddie Sorrell, worked on it and got it down to about $22,000, I think, for a change order. It was basically brought about by the state buildings and plumbing. The firewall was not adequate for them, even though I think there's nine other buildings in the state that before the new administration that had used the same kind of procedure, but the state wanted us to change it, so we had to go through some change orders. We got about $40,000 worth of deducts versus about $20,000 in a cost overrun or a change order.
Well, the one thing about it, you're talking about a project of $20, $21 million, so you're talking about another $20,000 or so there. It probably is not a huge amount in the grand scheme of things.
No, it's not. There was one other change order, too, and that was instead of having just these clean-outs for your sewer lines, they decided it might be better to put two manholes. It's easier to clean it out. So we went ahead and agreed to another $8,000 on that. So there's some change orders, but hopefully this will save us money in the long run.
As it stands right now, what are the workers doing out at the site?
We're still working on the foundation. I think they're starting to put the corners and strengthen those areas. And it's a ram injection type system. It's a different way than just building pylons. They just kind of make little small holes and inject concrete or gravel down into those areas and compact them. And we'll have a good foundation. And we feel pretty confident that we're going to see the building go up here in the next few weeks and months.
How has all the rain that we've had recently impacted
this? It doesn't help us. We're a few, maybe a couple of weeks behind, but I think they can catch up. And the contractor or construction manager seems very pretty confident that we're going to be able to get things rolling, get some steel up and get some block up here before winter.
Normally, at least mid-August, all the way through September, in this area is pretty dry. That could help.
This will help. And, you know, you're dependent on the weather, and that's something, thank goodness, nobody has control over except the good Lord, or we'd all be in war. So I'm glad to see that, you know, we've got some good weather coming, and that'll make everything better for all the construction projects we have in this area. I was just out at 801, and they've got their foundation, looks like, about ready to start building on it as well. And, of course, the hospital, they've been working on their foundation. They had a lot of utilities there they had to deal with. Our utilities aren't going to be a major problem right now, and we're trying to get all that taken care of.
Well, we have an abnormal amount of construction here. When you talk about other parts of eastern Kentucky, it's abnormally high.
We're doing great, and I'm glad it just happened to fall in my lap, and I'm glad it did. It's a great time to be the mayor or judge of this community. Because a lot of good things are occurring in this community, and a lot of bad things are happening in some of the other communities.
I was going to ask you, getting back to the jail, I know that you'd been working with the state and had to file that, I guess, a friendly lawsuit, which is almost a contradiction in terms in some way regarding getting the money that the state DOC, the Department of Corrections, owes for the design and engineering phase of the project. Where do things stand with all that?
We think it's going to occur any time. It's in the budget, and we think we'll get that money and hopefully in the next few weeks.
So that's good news, too.
Great news. Anytime you can get about $1 million to reimburse some of those expenses on our architectural expenditures and engineering expenditures, that's a real gift, and we want to make sure we got that gift from Frankfurt as well.
On a lesser note, but still important
let
to
me.
Many,
let me I want to thank go ahead. I want to thank Rocky Atkins, all his hard work on that. Rocky led the charge in the House. And then I'll give some credit to Steve West. He did his part as well, our senator now.
So on that front. I guess we'll move to the next one. I know that you've got a couple of buildings on the Art Square that are being refurbished right now, the Veterans Museum, and, of course, the old jail, which will become a center for art classes and some other things. What's the latest you can tell us about all that?
Well, I think the Veterans Center is doing quite well. Well, they've done a lot of plumbing, but they've done a lot of work on the roof, got a brand-new roof now. They've also got the drainage going the right way. Hopefully it's going to see less of a problem with water in the basement. There's some needs there, but they've painted the windows. It makes it look a lot better. We went steam cleaned the both those buildings to try to make them look a little more attractive. As far as the old jail, it's they're working on trying to raise some dollars to fix the roof, and they've got sewer and water lines in there now. They're working on some electrical work, but they're trying to raise the money through donations and through some grants they've received as well. And we're also continuing to work on trying to solve our problems with the art center. It needs some work. We're looking putting some more money into that building, trying to bring it up to standards as well.
What types of things are you working on or need to work on?
Well, there's the drainage problem. We've started on that. We've got to try to finish that hopefully as soon as the weather gets a little better. Maybe we can do some of that in September as well, because we basically had a real drainage problem down in there. It flooded every time there was a little rain. And we've made some improvements, but we need to go back and dig those trenches and put those lines back in trenches. The window seals or the window wells, we need to put some drainage in those. I don't think there was drainage put in those. At least that's what I was told. So we're going to go back in and try to put drainage lines in those. There's some problems with the heating system. Of course, that's another month away. Man, I have a problem with the heating system. We'll worry about that. I mean, the cooling system. But there's always something to a large building like that, and it's a great building to have. Actually, I think the arts people are going to try to put some plaques up, historical plaques, and recognizing people in the that have played a part in Round County and played a part maybe in the arts in Round County.
So these obviously have been some unexpected expenses over at the Art Center, correct?
There's always unexpected expenses about any building you have, but that's an old building, and it was refurbished about 10, 15 years ago, and there's things that always have to be fixed.
So far, when you look at all the work that has to be done right now, some of the things that you outlined, any idea what the price tag might be?
I'd hate to put a dollar figure on that, because we're going to try to use some of the county forces as far as using the backhoe and getting in there to kind of dig the line so we can put everything underground. We've used some of our own maintenance people to fix some of the repairs. We do have a contractor that's proposed trying to fix something on the cooling system. I'd say $15,000-$20,000 maybe would hit most of it, but there's still other needs there, and we're going to continue to try to take care of those as we can.
You mentioned the drainage problems on that piece of property. I mean, I guess that's something that's property-wide. What's going on there?
Well, the drain lines that were put in initially, I think, had collapsed over a period of time. I'm not sure what happened, but when we dug up the drain lines, we're actually working on a sewer line over to the jail, the old jail. We found some of those drain lines were basically collapsed, so they weren't draining anywhere. They were just draining right into the ground, which in turn seeps into the building. So I think we've made some progress. The flooding we've seen has been minimal at least, very little. But we need to put those underground, and those window wells, if there's no drain lines in those, we'll need to do that as well.
And in yet another project, I know that Kentucky Wired, the effort to expand and improve broadband across the state, is working its way through eastern Kentucky, and Moorhead is part of its I-64 corridor initiative. And it looks like progress is being made there. I talked to Mayor Trent here recently about that.
Yes, we've actually, the building, the fiber's already put in our courthouse building. It's already there. It's just a matter of hooking it up now to the main line. What I was told yesterday, I think you can use those lines with Time Warner. I think some of the sheriff maybe and the PVA have already switched over to Time Warner. They can get 50 megabytes on their versus I think we're getting 6 through the other vendor. So it's already there's an improvement there, and I'm going to look at it for the judge's office and treasurer's office as well. So we may wind up getting 50 megs before we get the full gig about that we're hoping we'll see when the Kentucky Wired is up and running across this, especially eastern Kentucky.
Yeah, I was talking with Mayor Trent about this very subject. He said probably it'll be about a year from now before everything is completed here in Rowan County and in Moorhead. And he said, but it will make a big difference for this community once it is done.
It's going to make a big difference, just not for Moorhead, but hopefully for the whole Round County. The industrial park, we're going to see it out that in that area. All our school systems will have it. It's really going to make us a much more attractive place for people to come and bring their businesses.
Yeah, I saw that Kentucky, I think, is 48th out of 50 states in broadband access, and that's kind of embarrassing in a way.
We're still number one in basketball, don't forget that.
But at the same time, to compete with these other states for economic development, you've got to get this up to
speed. You've got to have those same tools that everybody else has, and we're very close in having those. And I think I want to thank Governor Beshear and Congressman Hal Rogers for putting that on the front burner, trying to make a difference, and putting Eastern Kentucky first for a change. I think we need it more than anyone else because we've lost a lot of jobs. We're going to have to do something to get those jobs back, and I think broadband is one of those key things we have to have to make those things happen.
Saw a story that came out yesterday, and we discussed it a bit this morning on our newscast about U.S. Attorney Kerry Harvey from the Eastern District of the state was talking about this drug pipeline that's running into the Commonwealth from Detroit, and he said it's a serious issue that's just got to be solved.
I agree with you, and we met with our sheriff yesterday. He was in our meeting, I think at least in this county, people are afraid that those drug dealers realize that we put the heat on them here. We've got a good sheriff's department, good police department, the Moorhead. Of course, we've got the campus police. We've got state police located here. And I think the criminals soon find out that this is no place to come and deal drugs. Actually, they said they've had phone calls that are where they've listened in on some things where people said, well, I'll meet you in this county or that county. I'm not going to come to Round County. So I think at least locally we're trying to do the best we can. We're keeping some of it out. But you just no way you're going to keep it all out. And other than we're just going to have to redouble our efforts, and the state's going to have to do better, and the nation. It's just not a state or local problem. It's a national problem. And we're going to have to see some more help on the national level as well.
Yeah, when you talk about Rowan County, of course, you're talking about a county of 25,000 people and a sheriff's department that has only so much manpower, but they've had to dedicate so much of its resources into this problem. They're making a dent, but at the same time, I mean, it takes up a lot of time. It
takes a lot of time and money. And, of course, when you capture some of these people and you can get some forfeiture, it helps us in the long run to have more money to go out here and capture and convict some of these other criminals.
Yeah, there was a story here the other day about, I guess it was in the Olive Hill area, where some people had come in to someone's home. It was a home invasion issue.
Yeah,
and they went
yeah.
in to rob it, and they believed that they were trying to find some money for drugs. I mean, this is a major problem in this part of the state.
It affects everybody because nobody is free from being attacked. I mean, people that are hooked on this stuff don't have good minds, and they don't care who they hurt or what they do. They're just going to get the money for the drugs. And that's why you see an increase in crime. You see an increase in deaths. We're seeing a lot of overdoses, and actually I think I read where Kroger now is going to, you can buy that
Naloxone,
you can buy it over the counter, don't even have to have a prescription for it, because it's such a problem that, and you'd hate to sit there and see one of your friends die when you could basically inject them with something and maybe save their life.
What do you think it will take to finally put this problem away once and for all, or can it be eliminated?
I don't know. We've been on a drug war for 50 some years now, I guess, trying to solve a war against drugs, and it seems like we keep going backwards. I know some communities or some countries have gone to legalization. They seem to think that if you legalize it, take the money out of it, and in that way you can identify those people that are abusers, you can solve some of the problems and save a lot of money. Of course, a lot of people are concerned that that's not the right way to go either. So, but if you look, I think Portugal legalized everything, and their crime rate's gone down, and their actual drug usage has gone down. I think sometimes you don't have people out here trying to push it on people because they've taken the monetary reward out of it. That's a long, we're a long way away from that here in Eastern Kentucky, but I know some communities in this nation here have done, are looking at doing some of the same things, basically decriminalizing some of this action so that you can get help to these people that are hooked on them.
I'll ask you your opinion on something else. Many people speculate that this, in this part of the state, when we talk about Eastern Kentucky, much of it has to do with an economy that is still struggling because people don't have jobs, don't have good jobs. There's an air of despair in many communities. People are trying to turn to, are basically turning to drugs because there isn't anything for them in their lives.
It's an escape. They don't have much hope. They've lost hope in government. They've lost hope in getting a job to solve some of their own problems. And when people get in that kind of shape, they're just more vulnerable to looking at drugs as some kind of an escape, some kind of an answer. It's no answer. It's no escape. And they wind up just usually going down the tubes and actually die.
Again, our guest today on Front Page is Rowan County Judge Executive Walter Blevins. We'll take a break on the show, come back with more right after this.
There are many ways to connect with Morehead State Public Radio. Log on to WMKY.org for enhanced regional news, on-demand audio and video, breaking news from NPR, and information on your favorite programs. Get links to Facebook and Twitter while you listen to our live broadcast online, or download mobile apps from NPR and take 90.3 FM with you everywhere. Connect with your community and Morehead State Public Radio. Visit WMKY.org.
And we're back on the Front Page. Again, we're talking with Rowan County Judge Executive Walter Blevins. Well, Doc Blevins, I'll ask you what else is new in the county right now.
Well, we passed all our tax rates. There were no real change. I think everybody took the compensating rates, stayed the same level. I think the health department is 4.5% on $100. And then the motor vehicle tax stayed the same, and the watercraft property tax stayed the same. It's at 8 cents, and then 6.8 on the real estate, and tangible real estate is 8%. There was no change in those other than the compensating rate. It's no increase in the taxes for the county. The other thing that we got into was Lakeegee. We had a presentation from the Forest Ranger, John Kaczmarski, and there's a real problem with the roads in up going to Lakeegee. And we're concerned about that as well. Lakeegee has got a potential for a lot of economic development as far as tourism. It's a wonderful place, probably the highest place probably in Morehead that you can see the hills and the lake. A lot of people go out there to see the beauty. The road is so bad. I drove over it. That's the reason I asked the ranger to come and talk to us, because I wish I'd driven my four-wheel drive that day, because it was tough to get up and down the hill, and I had to go off the side of the road to get past some of the chug holes and potholes. So he came and presented some ideas. I think he's going to have some public hearings, maybe close off the road during certain times of the year, or maybe close off part of the road in certain times of year. Try to leave Lakeegee, if we can, to available to the public. I think there'll be a public outcry if we try to take that away, especially from a lot of the college students. I want to compliment the mayor on the street. I think the street, Main Street, looks wonderful. I'm going to have to learn how to parallel park like a lot of people now, but it can be done. I used to do it. I've done it a few times here recently just to practice. I can still get it in there, but you actually got more parking spaces now, and I just think it looks real neat. And I'm going to get all the – I think they're going to plant some trees back. I know people are concerned about the loss of some of the trees and some of the plants, but I think they're going to try to beautify the sidewalks and put some potted trees and that type of thing, and make it look attractive. That's all positive. I want to thank the mayor and the council for moving forward on that. Of course, anytime you do one thing, you make some people happy, you make some people mad, so that's just part of it, part of leadership. You just have to take those things. Other things that occurred, we had a public outcry about the pipeline. There's real concern.
I was going to ask you about the pipeline, and if you would recap that. I know it involves the old Tennessee Gas Pipeline that runs through the county.
Tennessee Gas Pipeline, it runs through the county, and then there was some information brought with some of the citizens there that the Columbia Gas has sold the property that they had bought to Kinder Morgan, and that's they're going to put a transfer station there to pipe it. The concern that a lot of people have is that pipeline is newer. It's a newer pipeline. And if it's newer, it make it more likely they could put this in the natural gas byproducts in there and send it the opposite direction. At the same time, these pipelines that we're talking about, they run right through the school system. They run through the superintendent, close to the superintendent's office, the high school, the football stadium, McBrayer Elementary. All those school systems could be impacted by this. These chemicals are very dangerous.
This is liquefied natural gas.
Liquefied natural gas. It's very explosive. It can cause tremendous damage. It not only that, if it even leaks, much less catches on fire and explodes, but even if it leaks, it basically lays on the floor, lays on the ground, and can suffocate people and asphyxiate people. So it's a very dangerous thing to run through your community. I hope that we're going to try to look at maybe have some public meetings about zoning. Zoning might be one way to do it. I don't know if even zoning would stop it because they've got long-term contracts. They've got easements. I don't know if we can do anything on that or not. But I know some communities have that where the pipeline is going. There's a lot of concern among my constituents here. Of course, we'll try to hear both sides. I'm sure people don't want a zoning, but sometimes it's the only way to protect yourself from those kinds of things that could occur. But it's a serious issue and one that we're trying to get a handle on as well.
I'll ask you this. Have you spoken to Kinder Morgan officials, and have they discussed perhaps the safety features of this so this won't happen?
They've talked to us. They came up, met with one of my magistrates and myself, and presented to us. And they say that it'll be safe, that they'll do hydrostatic pressures. They'll run water through it with high pressure, make sure there's no leaks. They'll run these pigs that run through the line to look for any kind of weaknesses. But still, no matter how good you are, you can always have an earthquake. You can have some kind of a terrorist attack on the pipeline itself. There's just a lot of concerns that a lot of our people are worried about. I'm worried, too. And the people ought to have some say-so on this. The federal government is looking into it. Hopefully, they'll make the right decision. The other pipeline it runs close to Tilden Hog, but it doesn't run as close to the school system here, and that's right here, the biggest complex we have. So if they switch lines and were Kinder Morgan, actually, I met with Columbia Gas when they were talking about purchasing this property for their pump station. They didn't tell me they were looking to buy it and then turn around and sell it to Kinder Morgan. I was told yesterday that Kinder Morgan has bought it. So
does this mean they're not going to use the old Tennessee gas pipeline? I mean, that pipeline's 70 years old.
It's 70 years, some parts of it 70 years old. And I think that may be one of their concerns, that maybe the pipeline is so old it wouldn't be feasible. So they went ahead and bought another pipeline. So it's got us all worried. I'm going to try to meet with Kinder Morgan people, if I can get them back up here, and maybe try to have a public meeting. They don't really want a public meeting because there's a lot of people upset about it. They don't want to bring their people into a fire pit, I guess. But they still should have to talk to the public, I think, and address our concerns.
And at least explain
what
safety features that they've installed in this to make it safe for the public to be around.
That's right. But these natural gas products are about 50 times more explosive than dynamite. So, you're talking about, when you have an explosion, it's a major, major explosion. It's a kill zone within about almost a mile.
Have they had any explosions anywhere else on the pipeline?
Well, I'm sure that we've had explosions on the pipeline. None of this type of material right now goes in the pipeline, as far as I know. But they had the train that got away up in Canada that was full of those same chemicals, and it destroyed that community.
Mm-hmm.
It's just devastating.
So, this is something that you continue to try to work with these people, and you try to work with the federal and state governments, but it's going to be a tough problem to solve.
It's a tough problem, even if we pass zoning, perhaps, because they'd be grandfathered in. I don't even know if we could even change that. But now some of the communities that have zoning are definitely going to try to do what they can to keep it from coming through their community. But these things were signed years and years ago, and they've got long-term leases, and they can pretty much pipe whatever they want to pipe.
Judge, as always, thanks.
Thank you. Have a good day, Chuck.
Again, that's Rowland County Judge Executive Walter Blevins. I'm Chuck Morales, host of Front Page. See you next time.